Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, I don't know if you kept up on some of the things that are taking place in the culture these days, but there was this young lady by the name of Danielle, I think it's Bregoli, B-R-E-G-O-L-I, and I guess she was on with Dr. Phil, and I didn't see the program, and I haven't actually even watched any of the clips related to this as well, but I remember that there was a lot of hubbub about she made some sort of a phrase, and she kind of mutilates phrases, I think, with this new way of speaking, almost like an Ebonics type of thing or something. But I guess she said during the program that the catchphrase was, "Cash me outside, girl, offside, girl." So it's all misspelled and almost misspoken and so forth. Well, here's what's happening now. This girl, this Danielle, I guess, is being offered a television program. So here's this teen who is just noted. I think she's, I saw in one post or something, somebody had said had a pretty checkered past and so forth, even at this young age, using, you know, this kind of a made-up language that she has here, you know, slurring these words together and so forth. And the culture rewards this with, you know, let's give you your own television program. This is something that really needs to be done. Well, I think that there's some lessons there that we should learn about the way that people look at teens these days, right? And what young people really have to contribute to this world. Well, that subject and a brand new book that has just come out, those two things caught my eye at the same time. And so I thought it would be great to talk about this new book. The book is called This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. It's written by Jaquel Crow, and she is, read her bio here. It says that she is a young writer from Eastern Canada. She's the lead writer and the editor-in-chief at TheRevolution.com, and she is a contributor to the Gospel Coalition, DesiringGod.org, and other things. Let me read a blurb about the book to you that Jaquel has written. It says this, the teen years have been hijacked by fashion, music, movies, and games, by the pressure of school, peers, and society, and by superficial expectations set by the world. But there is something more glorious than all of these influences that has the power to change the life of a teenager, the gospel. Written by a teenager, for teenagers, This Changes Everything is a deeply theological yet practical and accessible book on how the gospel radically transforms every aspect of the teen years, including pursuing relationships, managing time, combating personal sin, and cultivating healthy habits. In a culture awash with low expectations for young people, this book exhorts teenagers to embrace the gospel-centered perspective on their lives and pursue wholehearted devotion to Christ now. What a great summary, I think, there of this book. Jaquel, welcome to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Oh, thank you so much. It is an absolute joy to be here.
Well, Jaquel, tell us a little bit about what caused you, as a young person yourself, to decide, I need to write a book about this subject after, you know, I imagine what you see going on in our culture today.
Yeah. Well, this is a subject that I've done a lot of writing about just on my own blog and on therevolution.com, which is really where I started writing more seriously. And as I started engaging with more and more young people in the culture, I really saw this need for a resource that just looked at what does it look like for a young person to live a life transformed by the gospel, and what does it look like for teenagers to push back against cultural conformity, especially for young people who are trying to follow Jesus, because that's what I am, and throughout my teen years, I would be looking for this resource, maybe not intentionally, but in the back of my mind, I was always looking for a book that was written for someone just like me who was trying to follow Jesus as a young person, but wanted just this very specific and practical yet theological instruction on how to do that. What does that look like? And so that's really what spurred me to look more deeply at writing about this myself. I know authors or writers are always told to write what you want to read, write the book you want to read.
Right.
And so really that's what this Changes Everything came out of.
Well, I do think that that's good instruction and counsel there. Actually, the interviews that I do on the broadcast here are things that interest me. It's pretty self-serving, to tell you the truth. And this book caught my interest, and certainly after I read that paragraph about what the book was about, and so I said, you know, this would make a great interview to talk about these subjects. If we could, let me tell the listening audience, first of all, that the book is made up of 8 different chapters, and I was hoping what we could do, Jaquel, is that if I mentioned the title of the chapter, which is very short, that maybe we can get you to give us a little synopsis of what they will find when they get their own copy, you know, whet their appetite for what's in some of these chapters. How does that sound?
Absolutely. Sounds great.
Well, let's start. I love this first place here, that the first item that you talk about, because it appeared in books like, the late Jerry Bridges did a great book on this subject about our identity. So talk about that subject of identity. What do you write about that in your book?
Yeah, well, that is a subject that I know a lot of Christians have talked about recently, but I think it's especially important to talk about it with young people, because this is the stage in our lives where we are really grappling with who we are and what is our place in this world and what are we going to do with the rest of our lives. And so I wanted to start with this foundation of, at the very core of our personhood, of our humanity, who are we? And so in this chapter, I talk about what it means to have an identity in Christ as a young person and what that looks like for young people and for any Christian. And so I look at the different aspects of what's involved in our identity as Christians and what that means for a young person.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the cultural temptations about identity? To me, there seems to be a lot of identity theft taking place, meaning that, you know, a person's true identity is being stolen, and it's being stolen by the culture, and the culture telling them that this is who they should be, or this is, you know, maybe who they want to be, but it doesn't really match who they really are, what their real identity is. What are some of those temptations that you see out there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think there's just overwhelming pressure, especially for young people, to conform to these certain standards that culture puts in place. And there is so much of a temptation to put our identity in things like our relationships or our bodies or our studies or our looks, all these things that culture just really tries to put in the forefront of young people's minds. And these things can very easily become the source of a teenager's identity, of their joy, of their satisfaction. And so I think those things very seriously can steal a young person's identity or undermine it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody once said that what controls us is not what other people think about us, but what we think other people think about us.
Yeah,
so
that's very true.
That fear of man, that you know, that obsession with how am I being perceived by other people and so forth. And the gospel, of course, would it doesn't completely eliminate that. There's an element of it there, I think, you know, a right identity that we should have. But what it does is it tells us that the most important person that we should care about the way that he thinks of us is, of course, with God himself. And so what is God's opinion of us should override what everyone else's opinion of us is, right?
Most definitely.
And that'll change the way that you live. When you live with before an audience of one, when you live with God being the ultimate one, that you're seeking his pleasure and his glory, that will change, well, in a word, everything.
Exactly.
Let me ask you about the second chapter of the book. Is something similar? We talk about identity in the first part, you said, but what about you? You then talk about our story. How does that relate to identity, and how does it differ?
Right. Well, in the second chapter in the story, I essentially give an overview of what is the gospel. And since my first chapter is starting with who we are as followers of Christ, this second chapter, I want to make very clear what defines and creates followers of Christ. And so in this chapter, I talk about the ways that the gospel actually informs our identity, how the gospel is what transforms people, young people, from being followers of the world, of self, to being followers of Christ. And so I really just dive into what this looks like. What does the Bible say about how followers of Christ are created? What does the Bible say about our identity as followers of Christ?
Amen. The scripture then says, I think it's in Psalm 68, you know, that the Lord sets the solitary in families. Your third chapter deals with the subject of community. And a lot of teens seem to be lonely in this day and age. How important then is the fact that, you know, we're not lone wolves out here. We're not, we don't have all this autonomy, but we become part of the Christian community. How important is that?
Oh, I think it is tremendously important. And I think this is a subject that in the Christian culture we don't talk enough about, especially as it relates to teenagers. Because in the culture at large, I think independence has almost become an idol in some sense, that if you are this lone wolf, if you don't need anybody, well, then that is the ideal that you should be striving for. And that is just a completely anti-biblical message, especially when it comes to the community of the church. So in this chapter, I really talk about why young people who follow Jesus desperately need the community of the local church, because this is the place where they join together with other people who share their identity, with other people who have been transformed by the gospel, and serve God together and are held accountable together and worship God together. And that is just a glorious thing, and something that all throughout Scripture God extols the beauty and importance of community. And I think we do teenage Christians a great disservice when we do not define their role and function within the local church. And so in this chapter, I really just try to invite teens away from the idea of the lone wolf and into the beautiful and complex and sometimes messy relationship of the local church.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with Jaquel Crow. She is the author of a brand new book, This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. It's put out by Crossway. Their website is www.crossway.org. We've been going through some of the chapters of Jaquel's book, and the next chapter, in chapter 4, out of the 8 chapters that's there, it speaks about our sin. I like the idea of the "our" there on it, because there's so much blame shifting in this world today that, you know, that I do, you know, I may have made some mistakes, or I may have, these are misdeeds, or, and I only did them because of my environment, or because of somebody else, or, you know, something else caused me to do it. But this says pretty plainly here, our sin. So it's something that we have that needs to be dealt with. Tell us a little bit about what you write in that chapter, Jaquel.
Yeah, well, you really just got at there what is at the heart of this chapter, and it is what sin is. Sin is an affront against a holy God and an act of rebellion against him, and that is all sin, whether it's the kind that has maybe bigger and more blatant consequences like murder or adultery, or even if it's the more, to quote Jerry Bridges again, the more respectable sin,
yes, yeah,
that
right,
exists in the church and can often be advanced in a teenager's life, things like insecurity or ingratitude or gossip or discontentment, all of these sins that can sadly be brushed under the carpet. I think a lot of churches have low theological expectations for teenagers. So if teens aren't having premarital sex or getting drunk or doing drugs, that they're viewed as okay. But there is so much sin that still exists in a believer's life. And so this chapter tries to really boldly confront some of those respectable sins that young people, young Christians deal with, and show them to be evil and heinous in God's sight, and then tries to provide encouragement and a practical response to how to deal with sin, how to root it out, and how to move forward with the power of the Spirit.
Amen. You know, once we get to the conclusion that this is sin, this is a sinful activity, we can then say, well, that's good because we have an answer for sin. The scripture, if you say that it's all these other things and you blame shift and put it somewhere else and call it something different and so forth, well, a lot of times we don't have an answer for those things, but we have an answer for sin, and the answer for sin is none other than the sacrifice of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that perfect atoning work that was done on our behalf. So if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, who will cleanse us from our sins and wash us from that iniquity and so forth. So do you find, though, under that heading of sin, I was just mentioning this past Lord's Day, that there is so much redefinition of things in our life, so that now gender is being redefined and marriage is being redefined, history is being redefined. Do you find that a problem where it's hard for people to get to the place, teens in particular, to get to the place where they actually will call something sin because of all this redefinition?
I do, absolutely. And what's really interesting is that my generation is the first generation that has grown up where all these redefinitions aren't necessarily to us. Mm-hmm. These are the definitions that we have grown up with.
Right.
And so we have just always existed, or not necessarily existed, but been aware of these things in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think of sin, that is a really taboo subject, mm-hmm, in and among the culture, because people do not like absolute truths anymore. They do not like things to be labeled definitively as opposition to good, opposition to morality. And so I think that is a big struggle and a big issue. And another reason that I wanted to write a whole chapter on sin and why we need to be aware of it and why we need to deal with it as young people.
Mm-hmm. You hear so much, and it probably is the most quoted verse in the Bible during this generation is, judge not lest you be,
yep,
judged. So I could actually hear, you know, you mentioned sin to somebody that, well, you're being judgmental. You know, you're not letting people just be who they are and so forth. And obviously, that needs to be overcome. And it can be by the gospel to say, well, there's a definition of these things that is given to us, has been revealed to us. And that definition, again, comes from the Lord himself. He tells us that sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. So anything that doesn't measure up against the law of God, that is what sin is. And so we're not left to just speculate as to what it is. And we have the definitive word on that given to us in the scripture. Let me ask you about, excuse me, our disciplines. I find that young people can be disciplined in certain things, maybe in exercise or their interests and habits. But what about, do they find the idea of being disciplined in Christianity, becoming disciples of Christ, as a rather new concept?
I think maybe not so much a new concept in general, but a new concept applied to them. Because I think a lot of the teaching related to spiritual disciplines, and by that I mean the disciplines that we see in Scripture, mm-hmm, that Christians do to become holier, to pursue holiness. And I talk about four in this chapter, the discipline of scripture reading, the discipline of memorizing scripture, the discipline of prayer, and the discipline of evangelism. Mm. And I think a lot of times churches do talk about these things, but they talk about them to their adults. Mm-hmm. And they don't talk about them enough with young Christians. And so I've encountered a lot of young Christians who maybe want to start practicing these spiritual disciplines, but don't know how to do it. They have heard of this before, and they've heard multiple times that they need to pray and they need to read their Bibles, but they're unequipped in how to do that, and they just have maybe unhealthy practices, or they just don't do them. And so I do think that this practice of teenage Christians pursuing holiness through the spiritual disciplines is a bit of a new idea to them, and a pretty difficult one when they haven't been doing this or aren't really sure how to do it.
Mm-hmm. This may have come under the idea of community earlier, and we just didn't get to it, but the idea of the Lord's Day and getting together with the Lord's people on the Lord's Day, you know, as being certainly an essential item. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, the writer to Hebrews tells us. Is that one of the disciplines that they have trouble keeping as well? Because, you know, now we're in this Starbucks generation. I could just meet there over a cup of coffee, and that will be my church on Sunday morning. Do you get some of that in the folks that you interact with as well?
I do, sadly, and I think that this is such a big issue for young people that this is actually why I decided to devote an entire chapter to the importance of plugging in to a local church, because I see this absolutely. I share a story in the third chapter about this young person that I met at summer camp several years ago, and we started talking, and I asked her what church she went to, and she said, oh, my family doesn't really go to church. I just do my own thing. We're Christians, but we want no part of the local church. And I think that is an increasingly popular idea, that the church is not necessary to practice the spiritual disciplines. The church is not necessary for a Jesus follower. And that is something that I see nowhere in Scripture. As the verse you just quoted makes it very plain, young Christians need the local church. And so, yeah, that is an issue that I very strongly want to enforce in the book, because I do believe that a lot of young Christians have trouble with it.
Mm-hmm. The other three chapters in the rest of the book is our growth, our time, and then our relationship. When I think about our time here, I think we don't have much time left in the broadcast. And so we just won't be able to go into these, but I at least got to get you to say something about relationships, because relationships, of course, are so powerful in teens' lives. So we only have a couple minutes left, but if you give us a little synopsis there, that would be great.
Sure. Well, you are absolutely right. Relationships are one of the most formative things in a teenager's life, and the people that they spend time with and learn from are the people who shape them for better or for worse. And so in this chapter, I really talk about four prominent relationships in most teenagers' lives: their relationships with their parents, their relationships with their siblings, their relationships with their friends, and then, of course, their relationships with the opposite gender. Mm. And my ultimate purpose in discussing all of these relationships is to enforce the idea that for a teenager who follows Christ, all of their relationships must share the same purpose, and that is to become like Christ. Mm. And so each of their interactions should be aimed at encouraging one another, at growing, at edifying one another, and again, pursuing holiness. Pursuing holiness as a young person is this theme that I've just tried to weave throughout the whole book, and it comes out so clearly in talking about our relationships. And so it's in those four relationships that I really try to orient teens' perspectives on what is the most important thing, how do I exist in these relationships for the glory of God.
Amen. Well, Jaquel, you've done an excellent job here, and really need to be commended. I think, for the wonderful work that you put together here. I pray the Lord mightily blesses it, and that you're able, through the ministry that you have on your blog, and we didn't get the blog name, I want to get that in just a second, but on your blog as well as in this new book, that the Lord would use you in reaching out to other teens in order to point them to the transforming power of the gospel message. It really, I was saved at 17 years old, hitchhiking to California from Buffalo, New York, in order to join a cult in California, and met the first born-again Christian I have ever met in my life, shared the gospel with me, and so I'm a testimony to it, and I pray that there's many, many more. What's your website, Jaquel?
My website is www.jaquelcrow.com.
JaquelCrow.com. Okay, thanks, Jaquel. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor Kevin.
All righty. That was Jaquel Crow, and the book is called This Changes Everything, How the Gospel Transforms the Teen Years. Get a copy of this book. I think it'll be of great use to you. You can get it out there at Crossway's website. It's due to come out on the end, at the end of the month, but I think you can pre-order it right now. And their website is www.crossway.org. That's www.crossway.org. Remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.